Hello and happy 4th of July, my fabulous radio listeners. This is Sex Talk, and I'm your host, DJ Lady Liberty. Why can't I hear myself on my monitor?
I can hear you.
Really?
This is Dr. Sexopolis. The evil dark side to the lovely DJ Lady Liberty.
So, and tonight's theme is independence, and I know that Dr. Sexopolis and I have discussed pro and con the great experiment that is the United States of America,
and how it relates to sexual experimentation.
And you know, actually, the thing I find most ironic, frankly, is the fact that even though this is the
best country ever,
the greatest success in the field of human liberty that there ever has been. Yet I find it ironic that this is also one of the more sexually oppressed or repressed, I should say, repressed countries in the world, with the exception of, say,
Iraq.
I was gonna say, exactly, Iraq or Singapore or places like that. And so, as a you have a PhD in sexology, but what's your minor in?
I think it's in sexological studies.
Like I say, you have a minor in foreign affairs, and you
actually did. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. That was my master's, yeah.
You did a stint at the World Bank for a few years
until Geneva.
That whole scam with the Nigeria thing.
Right, yeah, that's true. They never did find the accuser, though.
Poor,
sweet Nabente. Poor guy. Anyway.
And so what I was wondering, you know, how do you explain the sexology, you know, our incredible financial success, you know, very, very wealthy nation, very unheard, you know, the kind of personal civil liberties that are unheard of in other nations, and yet,
you know, if you're caught with three guys in your car, people look at you funny.
Exactly. So,
or something.
And the question is, does one lead to the other? I mean, could you say that because we're sexually repressed, this nation is sublimating its sexual repression by being so
economically productive,
so wealthy and free?
Well, I mean, I've certainly heard that before. That's kind of a standard college freshman or sophomore insight into the Protestant work ethic, right? Like, if we would all just, like, let go of our sexual hang-ups, man, we
really
would be so concerned with growth and the GNP, man. And actually, when I was in Europe a bit last summer, and the Germans, of all people, like, consider Americans to be very uptight, and one of them actually said as much, like, oh, it's the sexual repression. It's because Americans are repressed about their sex that they have strip clubs and work so hard on the weekends.
Wait, Germans don't have strip clubs?
I think we've perfected the art of the strip club far more than the Krauts have.
See, I find that sort of ironic. I mean, first, I'll just let go, you know, I'll just not even address this idea that anything that I would say in this show would be the opinion equivalent to a freshman.
Three bong hit philosophy. I'm sorry if I was insulting in that insinuation. Well, it wasn't.
Well, no, see, usually my previous co-host, Lance, who I threw into an iron smelter because he snapped at me one too many times, also had this problem, this kind of intellectual one-upmanship. And when I kidnapped you from Mexico and had you brought over here, part of what I instructed the surgeon to do was to remove the part of your brain that would be so sassy.
Well, it's been a long day, and I have a really bad headache, so I apologize for my sass. My misfiring neurons are responsible.
Well, you know, ironically, the show is really good, but tonight we don't. How can I say this exactly? We don't have a guest.
To put it delicately, yeah.
And so usually when
we're going to have a Dr. Lawyer, Dr. Laura, Oprah, and Dan Savage triumvirate for the show tonight, but alas. Problems at the airport. Luggage was lost. After Dr. Laura accidentally opened Dan Savage's luggage and saw the selection of butt plugs, I think the entire show was derailed.
Well, I'm shocked that we actually had them flown in. Don't we usually have our guests brought in by Greyhound?
Well, you know, the university was sporging for this one.
So what we do in the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to open up, or do a very rare thing on the show, which is we're going to open up our phone lines, and we're going to have you, the listeners, call in with your own questions, and we are going to answer your sexual questions, comments, and concerns, giving you the kind of insight that
only the finest of trained monkeys can.
And
three bong hit freshman advice.
You know, if we had some freshmen, actually, the pre-keys are here. The so-called pre-college students are now here. And actually, it's past curfew, I think, for them. I think they have to be in their snug little beds at 11.
So are they locked in, forced to listen to us?
It might be.
Like some Vietnam-era torture.
And so pre-keys, if you're out there, if you're listening, especially if you're listening and stroking. But, you know, I think I can always make you laugh just by saying stroking.
It cracks me up. I'm sorry.
Well, what did you just do?
Sorry, that was burrito I had earlier.
Well, no, you just moved from my right ear to my left ear.
My ventriloquism foo is unmatched.
I wonder what the hand puppet was doing. So
anyway, if you want to call into the show,
yes,
you can call 621-WRCT or
621-9728.
Or if you're on campus, that's 89728.
That's right.
So call in your pre-keys.
If you're too busy stroking. I mean, see, the thing about pre-keys is that they're all, like, you know, just out of high school, and they're all, like,
earnest.
They're earnest.
Hairless. Boyish.
Smooth, vulnerable, tragic, pouty. But also, you know, you're in a college environment now, and you're probably thinking, boy, you know, I would really like to call the radio and share my innermost feelings, but...
Especially if you're a Catholic high school girl.
I'm afraid of what my friends might think. Well, this is college, honey. This is not. You're no longer in the presbyter.
Right.
You're no longer in the convent. It's time to... Leave those hang-ups behind. And so while we're waiting...
Be independent. In the theme of the 4th of July.
Thank you. While we're...
Whoa.
While we're like waiting for calls, don't read that.
Sorry.
Those are my secret...
Viewer mail. I'm not allowed to read the viewer mail.
Well, you're going to read the viewer mail, but I don't want you to read it in advance.
So anyway, so you college pre-freshmen, get a, you know, dive into that big, warm, sweaty pool of sex that is college, and give us a call here at WRCT. We promise to give you the straight inside dope on sex.
If only we can. So... I mean, I think I have about 6 months left before I give up on sex entirely.
So, okay.
I mean,
what will be left? Bitterness?
Bitterness.
Callers?
I'm going to interrupt. I'll tell you what will be left, but after our phone call, it appears we do have a call, and my producer has signaled me. Is the caller on the air?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oops, sorry.
Hey there.
Hey, thank you for calling. I have the first question I have for you.
DJ Lady Liberty is today. Last for words. He's shocked.
The first question that I have for you is on a special day today, like today, what does independence mean to you?
Quick pop quiz.
I'm not sure. I guess it means...
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Well, it's kind of a freedom to do what you want without worrying.
Mm. That's beautiful. See, do you think that we Americans are truly free? I mean, the thing is, like, you know, I have this feeling that, you know, you think you're free until, like, you know, you get your car towed and you have to go to that horrible place.
Until the man puts the smack down on you.
You are. And then once you bounce up against the walls of your cage, you realize that, you know, this is no better than Nazi Germany.
I think in a lot of ways, legally, we are free, but we just have way too many hang-ups that restrict us from within.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So can you tell us a hang-up that you had previously and that you've now broken out of in your butterfly-like emergence from the chrysalis of the man's repression of your sexuality?
Oh, sure. I'll just open it up big. I grew up with mainstream conventional Christianity.
All right.
And, well, that's got the whole can of worms right there.
Are you still involved in Christianity, mainstream or otherwise?
I am a Christian now, yes. And I go to church. I have adopted my personal beliefs slightly differently than most of the church does now.
So you're a Unitarian?
Not really.
What kind of Christian beliefs, in quotes, are you talking about? Were you brought up as a Catholic?
I was brought up as Catholic. I was
with all that lovely guilt, huh?
I was raised actually, sort of taught specifically in the Methodist youth group, which is pretty horrible. It's like the no premarital sex, definitely no homosexuality, and they were encouraging people to do things like take a vow that they won't kiss anybody before the first marriage. Before they kiss and they get married.
Whoa!
Really?
Sweet.
Wow.
There are some people who took that vow.
See, I was brought up Methodist, and we didn't have any of that. In fact, my first kiss was actually at my church after Sunday school.
It wasn't a if you don't do it, it's bad, like the kissing thing. But it was kind of like, well, it's a good thing, and if you're going to go ahead and go all the way, then that's great.
But what if he's got really fishy lips and a tiny cold tongue, and you don't discover that until, like, wedding day, and it's too late?
See, I never figured that out. I always thought
who's
it was a
now?
Good thing to figure out what you like and get good at something before you actually spring out on your spouse.
Well, indeed. Since we're talking about religion, I would like to play the role of the devil's advocate.
Okay.
And say that I think that the church response to that is, you know, marriage isn't about, you know, sexual performance. I think that if you marry somebody, you've married them for their, you know, their inner qualities, their more important qualities. And if they have fishy lips and a shriveled tongue or whatever, I forget what the term was, you work together to create, to learn, to teach each other pleasurable, mutually satisfying sexual techniques within the context of a nurturing marriage.
You know, fish lips might be useful somewhere else.
Well, we're talking small, gray, horrible lips.
Oh, okay.
Darting cold tongue that dives right for your tonsils, right? Ultimate and bad first kiss. But anyway.
But yeah.
I think the suggestion would be maybe that kind of fishy suction would feel good in an oral sex context.
I don't know. Would this Methodist youth group allow oral sex? I mean, good God. That sounds sinful to me.
You mean premarital? Well, probably not.
I mean, even within the holy bonds of matrimony.
Oh, within? Oh, I don't know. They never got into which kinds of sex were bad after you got married. I mean, they're all high school students, so
not
even thinking about marriage. It's all remain pure until marriage.
Mm.
I don't know if you matter that.
I mean, on the fish lip thing, I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the fish lip thing, but I'm thinking, like, would the fish have a row of, like, tiny razor-sharp teeth?
Remora-lipped. Yes, that would be.
Lips don't have teeth.
True. So, surely you didn't call up to discuss bad kissing techniques with us, mystery caller.
I think we should get to the bottom of this kissing thing.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, so, but is it true what I claim that you know that is sort of the church's position?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is definitely true. I don't quite agree with it, but that's what we've been taught.
That seems great in theory, right?
But it does.
Just like graduate school is a time of mentorship and growth of your intellectual capacity, not the in fact the bitter slog through the self reminds of Hades. I bet it is.
Yeah, I never really learned to. Anyway, I never knew self-loathing until year six or so of graduate school. And you laugh like that's not literally true.
No, I laugh because it's all too true and all too likely for me.
Okay, so you were a.
You created me in your own image, after all, DJ Lady Liberty, and I am doomed to spend the next decade in graduate school.
Okay.
Anyway, so
Proceed. I have to go. Do we have a second caller? Is that what you're communicating? Well, what are we going
to
do?
Well, mystery caller or woman. So, surely you didn't call in to talk about fish lips.
No.
Did you have some particular question, concern, or comment?
I don't
know.
I'm a mystery caller woman.
Trying to fill your caller gap.
Oh.
And
well.
I'm not a freaky. Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. You're more coherent than most pre-college students probably be. I mean, after all, they would be awed by the sheer star power that DJ Lady Liberty and I exude.
Well, so actually, this is really my first time listening.
Oh, well, don't say that.
Okay.
You listen every week, don't you?
Every week.
You know, we have all the shows archived on a webpage. If you're interested, it is sextalk.wrct.org.
I should go and find the few that I've missed.
Available in real audio on MP3 for your listening pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never be without your friends at Sex Talk. Well, what's the story there, Morning Glory? DJ Lady Liberty?
My friend Damien. I'm
not finished.
Oh, I just...
My friend James.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I saw an attractive man out in the control room, and I thought that maybe we could swap phone numbers, but it turned out that...
your pants still unzipped.
do
we have any callers on the air?
Yeah, this is the caller. Hello.
Oh, they're both on the phone.
What? Hello?
Is that producer Kate?
Cell phone rider.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
Sorry, we're having all kinds of technical difficulties. I would like the first caller to stay on the phone because I don't think we actually totally got to the depths of her emotional, sexual problems. But the second caller seems to have a powerfully arousing story to tell, and I wanted to get that out of the way, get to that as well. So, second caller.
Mystery man.
Are you there?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're having a radio show.
Just sitting here? We're just stroking. So tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from?
Let's say I'm from Pittsburgh.
Excellent.
Okay,
I work for Virgin Records.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
So my friend Damien.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is an actor. He kind of met this girl, Brooke, at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they dated for a while, you know, no doubt. And they had a bit of a S&M kind of relationship going on.
I've totally been there.
Okay, well, I myself have been there as well. I'm not much into it, you know, the staff kind of goes down at the S&M. But anyway.
You sound like a bit of a bottom to me, mister.
Okay, well, fact is, he goes home with his girlfriend. And they live in an older apartment, and they have radiators, you know, the old steel jobs, not like the blowing heaters.
Yep.
So she tends to tie him up with his sweat sock rather tightly on a very cold evening and proceed to come right back but passes out in the bathroom and lets his wrist just char to the hot molten metal that really didn't want to get to, which he bears the scars to, which is
time for
rather,
a safe word.
Rather real low and whatnot. He dates her no longer, but this would be my question. She recently broke up with him, and now she's sleeping with our friend Evan's little I won't say her name. You know, the bad name that I would like to call her. But we threw a
succubus.
Dr. Laura?
Yeah, we threw a milkshake at her last night.
Oh, that's not very mature.
We just think, you know, our friend Evan was our friend, and then he kind of stepped the boundaries. Like, I mean, come on, she was a two-day-old girlfriend, and he stepped into the picture. And I kind of played. I'm one of the best friends of the ex-boyfriend, and I was at bad sex in Oakland getting half-price food, and she rolls in with our friend Evan. So what am I supposed to do? Call him or not call him? You know what I mean? He's my best friend.
That's in some sense, apart from the milkshake throwing episode, like in some sense that's a difficult question, right? Like how long is long enough for the
widowhood,
right?
Well, I don't think 2 days
right?
is long enough for a
2 days seems a little bit hot to trot, yes?
Yeah, especially with a so-called friend. No.
And especially, I mean, it seems like if this is a woman, is this the same woman who
cooked your boyfriend?
This is the same woman that gave one of my best friends scars for life. You know?
Physical and emotional, I'm sure.
Oh yes, exactly.
It seems like I'm sensing multiple. I mean, like, as a trained psychotherapist that I am, I sense multiple issues here. The first is I'm sensing a little bit of homosexual desire between you and your best friend. You know, it's
very funny, my friend.
You know, you laugh.
Got about it. I got a lane now.
Somebody, I mean, you know, laughter is a defense mechanism, but I think you should analyze. Maybe tonight when you're writing in your journal, here's an imaginary exercise.
Or if you're a swimmer, you could come in and demonstrate for DJ Liberty.
Demonstrate a few strokes. You know, I would like you to perform the psychological experiment where you actually write a letter to your best friend telling him about your true feelings. But you don't have to send it. Just write it down and just so it's there on paper and see how you feel about that.
Good idea.
Oh, man, bring it. I don't give a I won't go there. Am I live? Oh, that's right.
Yes, in fact.
Okay, well,
the FCC is listening, so be careful.
Right,
and be sensitive.
And it's illegal to lie on the air, so watch it.
Yes, those things tend to happen, my friend. Maybe it's just my gay sex advantage that are breaking through. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, just to play the, what's his face? Is it Dr. Steve, you know, on Loveline? serious
guy. Break it off, man. Break it off, Dr. Steve.
The, I don't know, whatever his name is, Joe Schmo, right? Like, to play the straight guy, as it were, the straight man to Corey's goofiness.
Instead of Corey, you're referring to, of course, my
Oh, sorry, that was
name.
The man who left the room recently. I'm, of course, referring to DJ Lady Liberty. But, you know, perhaps throwing milkshakes and being angry isn't the best mechanism, right? Like, there's no reason to...
We didn't mean to do it, but...
just kind of...
It's
the rotation of the earth, the centrifugal forces.
Basically, we called out Evan to settle the matter like men.
And he tended to
stick his penis into the ex-girlfriend.
Right there in front of you.
Yeah, not right in front of us, but we know it's happening, you know.
But, you know, like, you've got to realize this, too, as every dad knows out there, criticism, adversity only drives couples together. You know, if you hate and are vocal about the hate for your, say, daughter's boyfriend, she's just going to like him all the more. So if you're kind of angry at this woman and Evan, it's just going to drive them closer together. And if that's not what you want, maybe that's not the best strategy to pursue.
I really don't think that my friend really kind of, I mean, he kind of gives a damn, you know what I mean? But at the present moment, I mean, well, to say in, like, really pop terms, he's living La Vida Loca. I mean, you know. Oh, that was bad wording, wasn't it? Oh.
Yeah, fairly, yeah.
I'm sorry,
you know,
that was on the radio.
At least you didn't quit a Britney Spears song.
But college radio of all, too. I'm so sorry about that.
Hey, we're being broadcast to potentially audiences of trillions thanks to the internet.
Oh, I'm so sorry about the pop connotation there.
It's sorry, the only...
WRCT rocks my world, man.
Well, thank you.
You guys have the best musical selection because all the other... Get out of my way, Oh. Sorry.
Please.
Yeah,
FCC.
I watch the language, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, I think we got beat.
Okay, sorry. Anyway,
so
I'm just about to my party right now, and I've got a bunch of fireworks in my trunk, and I've got about a half a case of beer in my car. So I'm going to get out of here, guys, but you have a nice evening.
And watch those milkshakes.
All I got to say is, Brooke, you are a...
Don't say it.
Don't. Okay, we got two questions, though.
Okay, boys, cut me off.
Two questions.
He's a snack.
Okay.
Well,
now I hope our first caller is still in line, and because I need the feminine perspective.
The coherent, the room temperature IQ perspective. Please call back, female mystery caller.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, fantastic! Right. So
talk to me about Hegel.
Were you as psychologically damaged by that last call as I was?
Actually, I couldn't hear it very well.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad.
I got the main gist of it, but that's
enough. He was upset.
Okay.
He threw a milkshake.
Drunk, too?
No, not yet. But you know these kids these days. With their crack cocaine and their baggy pants and their MTV video games.
I mean, I got a sense that there was a trunk full of illegal Ohio fireworks in his car. And
and thanks to caller ID and our close connections with the Pittsburgh Police Department.
This man is now safely in solitary confinement.
Getting in touch with his true homosexual feelings for his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you said you were brought up in a rather repressive, guilty Christian environment, and yet you've overcome it. And yet you say you're still Christian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is this new brand of Christianity, is this then more guilt-free?
Yeah, pretty much.
Does this allow you to, you know...
To amplify on... DJ...
Doctor. Sexopolis.
Sexopolis' question. I guess, and this is a related question, but it'll help me understand. So, are you in a different but organized religion now that is more in line with your feelings? Or are you in some religion and then you've altered it for a little bit for your own personal taste? Like, are you mostly a Presbyterian, but you have, you know... polyamorous homosexual sex. Actually, Presbyterians are pretty cool about homosexuality, as far as I can tell. But
yes, as Douglas Copeland once called it, meism. You know, where you kind of take a mainstream religion and bend it to your own moral code, let's say.
So without going too much into the religious side of this, I am...
Well, as long as you alternate with the sexual side.
Well, yeah. I've kind of taken my own twist on things.
That sounds kinky.
I took the... general basis and said, okay, that's what I believe, and then kind of went off and other things.
Chopped it, channeled it, added some thrush pipes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it basically did start when I had sex first.
Ah,
okay.
The fall of many
right.
religions.
And
when was that? How old are you now?
This was...
Approximate decade.
How old were you when you had actual sex for the first time?
Huh? 16? 15?
15.
Yes.
Was this heterosexual sex or was this homosexual?
This was heterosexual.
Wow.
That's fairly early.
Yeah, it was.
Traumatizing?
It wasn't a very good sexual experience.
You know, I've never met any woman who's ever said her first sexual experience was any good.
My first several were not very good. Fortunately, I got better later. Or they got better later. I'm not quite sure which. Maybe both.
Yeah.
Hmm. I have a question for you guys, though.
Fire away.
You're making me uncomfortable. I don't like to be.
Yeah.
I've been complimented on certain aspects, but I've also...
Aspects?
Of my skills.
Of your
Ooh,
skills. Could you be a little more vague?
No, I could. Well, I could if you wanted me to. But so who do you think is better at pleasing? Is it heterosexuals or homosexuals? I mean, is it possible for a heterosexual to learn how to please their partner
better than
others?
So we're talking above the waistline pleasing, right? To be equally euphemistic.
Doing which?
We're talking above the waistline pleasing.
Oh, above, below, either.
Well, certainly in terms of vaginal sex, I don't think a man could ever provide for me the same way a woman does. So, to answer half of your question.
What about oral? I mean, that's something equal
well,
supposed to do.
You know, it comes down to taste, as it were. Like, there may be a man, say, Ryan Felipe, who could be the best provider of oral sexual pleasure for men ever. But since I'm not interested in guys, like, he would do nothing for me on every possible level. And so for me...
Even with your eyes closed
that would be
and
sub-optimal.
No knowledge of who's doing it?
Well, now we're getting into very particular situations, right? So I'm somehow tied up in trance with a naked woman, and then my eyes are glued shut, and Ryan Felipe enters the picture.
If I can add just a little structure to this, I mean, I think there's two issues here. There's two separate issues here, which I think are both worthwhile and worth addressing separately. First of all, well, third, I mean, it's three issues, actually. First, as far as I can tell, Ryan Felipe is straight, or at least he's Hollywood straight. I mean, he's married.
Right. So is Tom Cruise.
He's married to Reese Witherspoon.
Beard.
Luckiest woman in America. Well, unless she's his beard. But there's a difference here between, I think our caller is getting at... which kind of person has the best technique?
And purely in a mechanical sense.
And what you're talking about is these other issues of the experience for the receiver. And of course, you know, there are two different things. And I think we should just what you're saying. I think is that as the recipient, the other person needs to be a woman because that's key to your whole like mental reaction to the sexual feeling. Don't give me that look.
No, I'm not giving you any look. I'm massaging my bulging prosthetic forehead.
Which head?
My forehead.
Oh, okay.
I'm picking up thoughts of some dogs in Chinle Park right now. My massive bulging cranium is very sensitive thanks to the gin and tonics I had earlier.
So basically you're saying that the enjoyment factor obtained kind of is both what your tastes are and the skills of...
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, certainly, like, gay men, you have an advantage, right? You start out 10 yards further down the racetrack of oral pleasure, as it were, because, you know, you kind of know what feels good on yourself, and you have some idea of how to apply that to someone else.
And you don't hate the penis.
And you don't hate the penis.
Like most women do.
Like, witness Martha Stewart. But on the other hand, like, just because you get a head start doesn't mean... you're particularly good at it, right? Like, I think it comes down much more like squeamishness, right? Like, in my own limited, primitive earth sexual experiences, like, it's much more like how much the woman is into sex acts, period,
okay.
Sex in general, than actual technique. I mean, enthusiasm without teeth goes a very long way.
It's true.
And, you know, technique is a very like, the actual best technique, correct me if I'm wrong here, DJ Lady Liberty, like, technique is not a universal thing. It's not like every man will respond the same way to the same things. And so these techniques get very personalized, hopefully. And, I mean, you certainly have more experiences with the male genitourinary organ than I do in all their manifold splendor.
I think, actually, as a matter of fact, I think you and I have probably had approximately the same amount of gay sex. Especially lately.
Well, I'm very, very sorry to hear that.
It's over. I mean, as our delightful gay undergrads, Andrew and Tom, have told us many times, there's really no point in being gay once you pass the age of 25.
I don't believe that.
That's only if you're a club kid looking for cooked up sex in the bathroom with hotties.
Well, who isn't?
I mean, B. Arthur. Attorney General Janet Reno.
You're always playing the B. Arthur card. I mean, you know, it's really not.
Ronald Reagan. How's that? He's not.
Is he alive?
He's in the clubs for hotties. Yes, he is.
Hello.
Well, afflicted with Alzheimer's. Let's not be pejorative here. Man, my headache is making me bitchy. I'm sorry.
Really, I'm gonna have to tie you to the radiator.
Charm me like a burger.
So I didn't actually understand that story anyway. So the person was tied to a radiator, and then his mistress left?
Or? Passed out in the bathroom, and evidently this guy's now upset this woman has left him. I mean, he should be overjoyed before she ended up like sawing off a foot and passing out halfway through, or.
Starting an open heart surgery and forgetting to close.
Right. Leaving a sponge inside.
I mean, I think, and you know, we've had, I just have to say, because I feel it's my duty, we've had many members of the BDSM community on this show talking about, and for the large part, they're all, anybody who's a serious member of the BDSM community is responsible and sane about
right.
their play.
And sweat socks, please. How unsexy is that? Tie him up with his sweaty tube socks.
I use pantyhose.
You know, actually, tip to the pre-collegiate students out there, saran wrap is an ideal bondage material because it's wide enough that when you wrap it, it doesn't won't cause nerve and muscle damage to, say, wrists or ankles. And also, you don't have to hide it from your parents. So, a tip from me, Dr. Sexopolis, to you.
Would they wonder why you're buying saran wrap in bulk?
Perhaps, but that's better than them wondering why you're buying Astroglide in the, you know, easy applicating 5-gallon size.
Well, okay, I have
just
to
dip and go.
But in terms of other bondage implements, that
okay,
you buy,
handcuffs, okay. Velvet ropes.
All right. So,
I keep on losing the waist, you know, the belts to my bathrobes, Mom.
I mean, I'm actually sort of thinking in my. I want
the pantyhose is good. I have to admire the creativity of that.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty comfortable too.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't have it myself. It was somebody else.
So, did you use a safe word, or is this much more mild?
This was very mild. I had
some
to pick a safe word
some
anyways,
domination.
But it was mild.
Right.
Mm. It wasn't actual like.
So no, there was no flesh charring.
Nothing good like that.
Like some hellish barbecue of sex. I don't know.
So did you try mummification? When you mentioned saran wrap, I thought immediately of mummification, which is this idea of just wrapping somebody
right.
from head to toe, literally in saran wrap, allowing them to breathe, of course.
Hopefully. Well, I remember looking actually at this webpage. I was looking for latex dress information, and not for myself, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I found this German, like, fetish equipment website, German, of course, that sold, for example, body bags, like these big rubber body bags with basically their hoods and with bags attached to them. So you'd be zipped up inside the bag and you couldn't get out. So it's kind of like mummification, but easier.
More convenient.
You're not quite immobilized. You can struggle and thrash around, but you're in a cocoon.
I mean, you're tempted to put, like, a few sticks of butter in there and just...
Beef?
Well, and then just roast somebody.
They also had something delightful called the schnuffel penis, which means in German literally inhaling penis. But it was considered a dildo with holes drilled in it. So I guess the idea, it's hollow inside, so I guess you can thrust it into somebody's mouth to gag them, but they can still breathe.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
I can hear the idea of the schnuffel penis.
It is. The gears are
winding its way through your brain.
The gears are definitely turning in my mind. Well, so...
Yeah.
Just Google for a schnuffel penis. I'm sure you can find it.
Hello?
Google would be your search engine of choice.
Absolutely.
Schnuffel penis.
S-C-H-N-U-F-F. I think it's E-L. Penis. All one word. Or just try searching for inhaling
my
penis.
My keyboard doesn't have an U umlaut.
Well, you should use the ISO character set, DJ Lady Liberty. Anyway, now that we've diverged from the topic of sex, let's bring it right back.
Well, so
I interrupted you, sorry.
Well, you know, I'm getting used to that, and I might have to get my Latin American surgeon back in here to do a few more modifications on your brain.
Please not Diego.
But in terms of the bondage thing, there is a similar thing to the schnuffel penis, which I would like to actually try on our previous caller.
The inhaling butt plug?
No, it's that you tie somebody up and you put this kind of, it's just like a plastic ring, or maybe it's a metal ring, and you put it into their mouth so that it keeps their mouth open. So they can breathe through their mouth, but they can't close their mouth. And so if they're tied up and their mouth is open, you know, they can't help it when you, like, jam your erect penis down there.
Interesting.
In their mouth, because they can't stop you. And it provides a form of domination that way, because...
What will they think of next?
It's certainly something along the schnuffle line, although I'm not sure what.
Yeah, it seems underdeveloped.
maybe some German manufacturer will make the coat of 1,000 schnuffle penises.
Which you could probably wear.
Sort of separately articulated penises. But that's grist for another mill.
So, Do your current religious beliefs? I'm sorry if we're harping on this, but this is the only thing we know about you. Feel free to chime in any other tidbits. But does this in any way really affect your dating? I mean, do you date only men within your church, only men with similar beliefs, or is it more of a, you know, moral, ethical guidance type of religion rather than daily task determining? That is, do you ask yourself, what would Jesus do when you look at men?
I don't know. Well, see, I don't know what you do. It doesn't really come into my thoughts very much. So back when I was, like, actively dating, the technique I would generally use is think not so much as what's right and wrong, but it's more important as to what's going to hurt somebody and what's not going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean... So it does fucking hurt.
Well, it hurts the FCC.
Oh. I mean, if it's between two adults then who are both consenting, then what's the problem with it? And that's my feeling about it.
Right. So,
sorry, we had to bleep you, actually.
Sorry.
That's what my very suave comment about the FCC was.
It's
true.
It is an interesting question, and I think, you know, the thing about most of these religions, you know, particularly the Catholics, is they don't really necessarily, not particularly the Catholics, but I'm just saying, there's a religion like Catholicism which goes back 2,000 years, you know, they can trace back their history back to the time of Christ, and you say, well, you know, why is your system this way? What I'm doing is not hurting anybody, and they're like, well, you know... That's not the point. The point is, you know...
God told us.
Jesus told us these things 2,000 years ago, and that's the way it is. And no one said this was easy, but if you do things our way,
right.
That's the way God wants it. So it's kind of like you don't necessarily get a vote in how God wants you to live. Mm-hmm. At least that's my... I mean, I'm not particularly religious, except for the religion of love. But I'm just saying, you know, I think that that's what... someone in an organized religion like that might say. True or false?
Sure.
I was directing that at our producer, who's actually an expert in all religions.
She's a nun in the Order of Our Lady of Perpetual Woe.
Our Lady of Perpetual Producerdom.
The patron saint of graduate students.
So I've got another tangent for you guys.
Oh, right. Oh. We keep
more sex-related.
Thank God.
Excellent.
Okay, so one of the things, the big deals when I first started having sex was that it was a huge thing that it was wrong, and I had this big guilt trip, and I denied it, and I didn't tell anybody, my friends, anything like that, but I kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm not sure if it was I was doing it in spite of being guilty or partially because of feeling guilty, if it was like some this extra turn on that it was wrong.
Transgressive, absolutely.
But I'm also wondering, is it a turn on for the other person? If I was having, like, problems, qualms, oh, this is wrong, is it a turn on for them to make me be doing that or be doing it with me?
Well, I can definitely see how some people, how that might be attractive, right, if there's this, one could construct the following narrative, right, that I am so attractive, I am so desirable that mm-hmm. this woman will have sex with me, even though it's making her feel guilty, right? Mm. Like, I'm such an overpowering sexual beast. But I don't mean that in necessarily quite the bad way I'm saying it, but that's possible. Am I right?
Well, I was at a personal question, Dr. Sexopoulos. Have you personally ever been the first time for anybody in such a situation?
Yeah, well, I don't know how to answer that. So the first
yes
serious
no
girlfriend I ever had claimed that I was the first guy she'd ever slept with. However, I tend to doubt that, knowing what I know now.
not about her, but just about people and about sexuality and about first times in general. And also, I think, for her, at least, just to digress massively, like, for her, she was trying to set herself up as kind of a very innocent, this is my first time, you are my all to me. That's not really what I wanted, but for some reason she thought that's what I wanted, and so I think maybe she was lying about it.
So we discussed it on the show, though. Any relationship that begins with a lie is doomed to fail. Right?
Absolutely. And it failed very horrifyingly, like, very badly. And only after years of deep therapy am I able to talk about it again.
So,
oh, you laugh.
So I don't mean to digress, or maybe I do, but so how did it fail horribly, and did it all stem from that first lie? I mean, once you start lying, you can't stop. That's
well, yeah, so if my theory is correct, right, if this woman, Melissa, hey, if you're listening, if in some sense she had set herself up as...
Melissa.
had set herself up as, or if she's trying to project this image of, you know, you're my first boyfriend ever, and it's not true, like, one could see how trying to act this role would... drive her away from me, drive her away from any possible true emotional intimacy. And ultimately, the way she broke it off was basically not to tell me that it was over. And we were in separate states at the time, and I had to fly to her state to visit her to finally find this out. So there's a lot of hiding. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background. So almost certainly it was the seed that grew into the oak of my ultimate being dumped, to stretch a metaphor.
That's a horrible story.
It gets worse. And I have the pants made of human skin to prove it.
So I have two options. We might even have a caller. I have two options to offer the two of you. We can either continue talking about what was it we were talking about?
Sex.
All right, I have this thick stack of viewer mail, which we haven't gotten to, and so I'm wondering... I'm wondering if we should read a little viewer mail and have both of you maybe comment on it and see what you might think.
Sure.
So, Oh,
you want me to read this? DJ Lady Lovely Liberty. DJ, dear DJ 2000, that would be you. Your previous co-host, Lance, was the best part of the show. Who is this new dork? Great. I know that you call him your cyborg creation, but that's just you being a jackass, of course. Who do you think you are, Myron Cope? Go away already. Anywhere, where are all the ladies? I don't mind hearing about gay people once in a while, talking about how pathetic their lives are. But every single time, come on. My 6-inch kielbasa is sitting here in the bun, getting all shriveled up.
Okay.
I would like you to get some strippers on the show. As would I. I went to a stripper bar once, and the ladies were really nice to me. But then I grabbed someone's buttocks, and she gave me all kinds of attitude. Can you explain to me why these places get you all revved up, and then finally, when you're ready to move on to the next level, they smack you down like yesterday's frijoles?
Loser!
I'm just asking here. Hey, it makes no sense. Beep. Sorry, I have call waiting. Gotta go. Keep stroking, Kevin. So I sense a certain amount of derision from you, mystery lady.
Mystery lady, since you are an expert in the FCC regulations, you know we can say ass on the air, right? We can say ass, right?
Oh, well, then, would you like me to reread the entire letter instead of saying the word ass for...
That's okay. Just you can say ass now. Just to
right. So, he evidently grabbed some stripper's butt.
Ass.
And there were problems.
And he doesn't say why that's wrong?
Well, if this letter is, I mean, you raise a very interesting philosophical point. I mean, how can we know truth?
That is an interesting philosophical point. I'd like to just diverge the topic a little bit and ask our caller, do you think that it's wrong to grab a... Do not read the letters and events. Do you think it's wrong to grab a stripper's ass? I mean...
And more importantly, am I really a dork?
Because I mean, the caller, you said something with a very, very opinionated. You said he doesn't see why that's wrong. And frankly, I don't actually see... I mean, I sort of see why it's wrong, but I don't really understand the whole stripper vibe, which is actually, I think, very strange, which is, you know, it's a very sexualized kind of context. You know, they're swinging their acting
body.
Very sexual in your face. They're swinging body parts. They're being very arousing. They're putting in the show. There's this very sexualized exchange of money, you know, and so on. Which is kind of this other game, but there's this line that you must not cross. And when they do, then they get really ticked at you, and then the bouncer throws you out and beats you up and so on. So, like, what's the deal there?
Well, see, the whole point in being an exhibitionist and stripping is the asylum you have. I mean, the safeness that you are assured that you can do whatever the heck you want, and you can get this other guy going and get him hard and make him really, really want you. But but he can't do anything, so you're safe. See, if he could do something, then it'd be a lot more intimidating because you'd have to worry, well, am I pushing him too far? Is he going to hurt me? Is he going to do things I don't want to do?
But in some sense, that's I guess, the answer also. That's no different from any other social situation, right, where there are invisible but definite boundaries. Like if you go to the beach, right, like women are in a state of undress you don't see in any other place except for maybe 2 or 3 weeks into dating, right?
Yep.
But yet you can't, you know, grab you some of that, even though it's in some sense, quote, on display on the beach.
Yes.
I mean, there are definite lines, even though some situations may be more heavily sexualized than others.
I have a question, actually, about the whole stripper issue, which actually ties in both the schnipple penis and some comments that were made at the beginning of the show.
Excellent.
Because you started the show saying that Germans, and I heard the same comments, actually, while I was there. It's actually a coincidence, I guess. But you were talking about how Germans criticize us for being too strict and how we've mastered the whole strip industry and are repressing ourselves constantly, but yet the Germans have come up with the schnuffle penis light years ahead of our own technology, yeah. Of course. So they're obviously spending some time in the closet thinking about these things. So
oh, yeah.
Don't you think that we all just have our sort of normal behavior and our sort of deviant behavior, and we're all just, everybody has their average, but everybody's trying to push their average?
Why can't we all just get along?
So.
And as a follow-on to that comment, too, like, I didn't think about this until now, but when I was in Germany, I went to Hamburg and visited the Reeperbahn, which is the sleaziest street in all of Europe. And, you know, I went to a strip bar, it's not a strip bar, but some kind of peep show thing there, where I went to a booth, and there was a woman on a giant Lazy Susan spinning around, performing various sex acts, I guess. And then every time she looked at me, I felt guilty. So maybe it was more of a sort of a guilt booth than anything else.
Well, that actually does sound like pretty advanced stripping technology.
Right. I've never seen anything like that in America.
Well, I'm sure the Lazy Susans were mastered back in the 50s in Vegas. I'm sure we're on now to, like, I don't know, like magneto-hydrodynamic levitation devices, super cooled by liquid nitrogen.
Well, I guess, although I've never, I mean, I've only been to a couple of strip bars here in Pittsburgh, and they certainly have nothing like that.
You know, I've actually never been, I haven't even been to a Hooters. I've never been to a strip club. I would just feel so soiled and guilty and bad about the whole experience.
That's part of the point. I feel like my homosexuality insulates me. Well, that's the thing. When I actually went to the strip bar, I insulated myself from feeling bad because I didn't feel like I was exploiting the women. I actually felt sort of like I was their ally because I had no interest in, like...
Well, it's not so much that because, okay, other than on a, say, theoretical Catherine McKinnon level, I realize these women are not being exploited, right? If you're making $800 a night dancing, that's not...
They're not being forced.
Not being exploited in a first approximation, let's say, right? But it's much more like, and forgive me those listeners out there who don't go to strip clubs, in some sense, I don't want to become the stereotype of the guy that I think goes to the strip clubs, right? The sweaty, balding, 50-year-old businessman, hates his life, hates his wife, goes to the strip club to imagine that he's hot and sexy. And I don't want to be that, even though I realize at some level I'm not. There's something about the whole strip club economy which depresses me.
I think it's your own internal self-loathing, actually.
Yeah.
we've had previous...
Maybe I should write a letter to the strippers. Not send it, but just write it to get my feelings out on paper, right?
Because we've had previous co-hosts who have gone to strip clubs, and it wasn't out of self-loathing, and they actually form this kind of... I mean, this guy won't mention his name.
Lance.
Starts with a letter. No, it's not Lance. It's the other one. But he seemed, you know, he went, he seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to, like, bond with the strippers. They talked to him afterwards. And that, it was like they made little sort of friends. He doesn't have, there wasn't the whole I'm lonely and pathetic and creepy vibe. There's, like, you're pretty and I like to watch you and here's some money. And
well, there's that thing, too. Like, I guess I'm insecure enough in my own relationships that I don't want to even have the taint of this woman has only talked to me because I'm feeding her 50s. You know, that in just in itself would be, could kind of ruin the vibe for me.
I know plenty of guys in your age group, though, who frequent strip clubs, and I haven't heard any of them express the sort of guilty feelings yet, but maybe I should ask them about it.
Are they pathetic?
Some, yes, some, no.
I don't think there's a reason to feel guilty.
Guilt might be the wrong word.
Yeah, I think Americans are a lot more repressed about sex.
I mean, I don't...
unhealthy in several ways.
I certainly don't feel guilty about my sex life. I don't feel...
I'm gonna suppress
soiled after sex unless it's really good.
I'm going to suppress that thought for a moment because we have another caller that we're going to just try to put on maybe at the same time. And in the final minute or so we have, let's get one last comment.
I have one comment for the lady before we go. Relating to other countries, I just had a message from your special friend in Slovenia. He says hi.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
I didn't realize you had a special friend.
No, your special friend. Okay. I happen to know him, though.
Okay, but actually, we've got another caller.
I have a special
caller.
Friend from Slovenia.
Everyone stop copying. We've got 30 seconds to get this other caller. So
okay, go ahead.
Is the other caller in the air?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, great. Thanks for calling in.
No problem, DJ 2000. I'm one of your biggest fans.
You're not that teenager with fireworks, are you?
No, I'm not. I just called in to comment about the strip club thing.
Uh-huh.
Your image of strip clubs is completely and utterly wrong, and I think you should perhaps consider therapy. You know, you need to work through some of these issues about everyone who goes to strip clubs is 50 years old and a businessman stuffing 50s for people to pay attention to them.
No, I agree, and I'd be the first to admit that that's a horrifying stereotype, yet...
It
dominates my consciousness like some big dominating thing.
Well, I think there's a clear way to work through this. One is to spend, many years in therapy and lots of money to psychotherapists. But another would be
to actually go out and confront
your fears. And maybe every week, perhaps before the show, you should pick a different strip club and you should go there and you should face your fears head on and stuff a few dollar bills down some brassieres, or if they're gay strip clubs, down some G-strings.
I prefer the brassieres. So what strip club do you recommend I go to? Like, I am a 29-year-old, straight, conservative-looking white guy. Like, what's a good strip club for me to see?
For the first time, you should go to Cricket or to Club at Downtown. Those are both very conservative kind of buttoned. Those won't shock you too bad.
You're very
fragile.
No, I'm not.
And I think to go kind of more hardcore would be to go to the Highway Playground.
I've heard of the Highway Playground.
Where do you want to work your way up to that.
Didn't you have your hide tanned there?
Kids, we gotta go because we gotta be courteous to the next show. But let's get into the stripping discussion next week. Thanks for calling. We will repair your psychological profile. Please listen in same time next week, Tuesday at 11. Thanks for listening. Happy 4th of July, and God bless America.